Welcome to TFP, the Theater Folk Podcast. I am Lindsay Price, resident playwright for Theater Folk. Hello, I hope you're well. Thanks for listening. It's an interview with Theater Folk playwright Allison Williams. But first, let's do some Theater Folk news. Happy Halloween, everyone! Oh, that was the worst. That was the worst evil laugh ever. Sorry. Who knows when the next calendar event will actually land on a podcast publication day, so I'm going to take what I can get. October was, it's always a fabulous month when you're in the theater. When Theater Folk used to be a production company rather than a publishing house, you could get any costume piece you needed for any kind of play leading up to Halloween. This past year, Craig and I were in Disney World for Halloween, so we went to the Character Connection, which is a Disney outlet store, and we were initially going to go as tacky tourists, but shockingly, we just couldn't find anything ugly enough. But then we stumbled upon the High School Musical section, so we went as adult High School Musical fans. Apparently, I love Troy. If you're looking for an extra spooky play to read today, and why not, have a look at my adaptation of The Legend of Sleepy Hollow, complete with instructions on how to build your very own headless horseman. And one of our newest additions to the catalog, The Bottom of the Lake by Stephen Stack. I love this play because it is both incredibly creepy and wonderfully funny. A great combination because it provides that sought-after roller coaster effect between tension and release when you're building up a story. Ugh, it's the best. And as I often tell writers, you always want to make your audience laugh right before you punch them in the gut. Metaphorically. Of course, it would take a long time to punch every single audience member in the gut. It would slow down the story. And by the third guy, they'd guess what's coming. Lastly, where oh where can you find this podcast? We post new episodes every Wednesday at theaterfolk.com and on our Facebook page and Twitter. And you can find us on the Stitcher app. And you can also subscribe to TFP on iTunes. All you have to do is search on the word Theater Folk. Hello. So, we have a guest on TFP. It is Allison Williams. Hello, Allison Williams.
Hello, Lindsay Price. I'm so glad to be here at the Theater Folk Global World Headquarters.
Yeah, well, that's exactly where we are, deep underground in the bunker.
In the office, down the hall from the fax machine.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's what we tell people. Shh, don't tell our secrets. And so... Allison Williams, for those of you who are Theater Folk regulars, will know Allison from her plays in our catalog, Drop Dead Juliet, and M. Beth, and Hamlet, and The Scarlet Heart.
Yes.
That's a nice collection.
Yeah, I should write something new. It's been a while.
And we were just talking about how we've known each other for a very long time.
We've known each other an incredibly long time.
And I don't remember when it was.
We
know where.
We met at the International Thespian Festival in Lincoln, Nebraska.
Yes.
And what happened was my partner Todd and I were teaching workshops, and you and your partner Craig were teaching workshops.
Yes.
And Todd and I and you and Craig were sitting in the crying baby booth at the back of the Lead Center, and we were all four watching a less than stellar show.
Yep.
And about halfway through the first act, Todd and I kind of whispered to each other and we looked over at you guys and we said, is this as bad as we think it is? And you guys were like, oh my God, we thought we were the only ones. And we hitched our chairs closer together and spent the rest of the time talking about the play.
And then I think after every show, for every show after that, we We either talked a lot about the plays, or and then at some point, I think some of them we just left. I remember.
Yeah. Oh, thank God for the crying baby booth.
The latecomers booth. I know. Yeah. There's not that many. There's more theaters need to have walled off booths so that people can talk about.
But we also saw so many good shows there too. You remember Historias de los Teatros from that school in the very southern tip of Texas?
As soon as you said I didn't remember the name of the school.
It was 50-50 in Spanish and English. Four kids in jeans and t-shirts with chairs they had borrowed from the bar across the street.
So I'd just like to point out that Allison and I both held up four fingers to the microphone.
And I think like that show was like such a testament to the power of good acting and good theater, because it was four kids in jeans with four chairs.
And it was incredible. Pure storytelling. And the lead center is huge. It has like 3,000 seats.
It typically stages mega musicals. You know, they put Children of Eden in there. They put Phantom of the Opera in there. And this was the best show I have ever seen in the lead center.
It's the one that I remember the most.
Yeah, those kids had power.
And they just did this little teeny tiny show on the lip. They don't do that anymore because they have the other theater
to put the smaller shows So I'm thinking we've known each other since probably 95 or 96, maybe.
I think, you know what, it has to be 96 because Craig and I were married and we were married in July, so in 95 in July or June we wouldn't have been married, so
then we would have met you in 1996.
Yeah,
which is
how many so years? It's 17 years. Oh my god,
all right,
we're old
and I'd like to state for the record that we did just eat dinner at 5 o'clock in the evening.
I'm so old. But what are you gonna do? One of the reasons that Allison here to talk with me is that she has just completed the most interesting writing project. So what was this most interesting writing project that took up practically a year of
almost
your life?
Almost a whole year. Yeah, it took 11 months.
A whole year of your life.
11 months. I participated in an online contest. There's a blogging site called Live Journal. That's kind of an old school blogging site. It's been around for a long time. It goes back before Blogger, before WordPress. And there's a contest on LiveJournal that's hosted by a member of the blogging community. It's not, you know, official or anything like that. But it's called The Real LJ Idol. And it's structured like a reality show. And it started last year in October, in 2011, October. And every week for 39 weeks, we had to write a new thing. We got issued with a topic. Everybody had to write on the topic. You had a deadline. You posted the thing in your own live journal and then posted a link to it at the contest site. And then there was online voting. And every week, the low man went home, or the low people went home. We started with 337 people last October.
And did with?
And ended with one.
Who
and
was?
That one was me.
Allison Williams, winner.
Yeah, and I loved this contest for a couple of reasons. I loved it, first of all, because it made me write every single week, whether I was feeling it or not, whether I was having a creative week or not, whether I had time or not.
If you wanted to stay in the contest, you had to write.
You have to keep writing, and you have to be in by deadline. You know, so there's none of this pouncing around waiting for inspiration to strike. You have to decide, okay, I'm going to write this week, and I'm going to write on time. And I'm going to write something good enough that I'm not ashamed to ask my friends to read it and vote.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I really loved about this contest was just getting to see the variety of work that's out there, and getting to read all these different pieces. People wrote so many different things. They wrote poetry, they wrote prose, they wrote fiction, they wrote nonfiction, they wrote literary stuff, they wrote science fiction, they wrote horror.
So there really wasn't a... there was no limitation to how you could approach a topic.
Right. As long as your piece in some way tied into the topic, you could do whatever you want with it.
And what kinds of things did you write?
We had, we started with When You Pray, Move Your Feet. And other topics that we had included walking a tightrope, walking on eggshells, Leviathan, disappear. Current events was a fun one. You got to pick something that was currently in the news and write about it any way you wanted to.
And did you choose, what kinds of genres did you choose to write in?
I wanted to stretch myself as a writer, so I deliberately wrote as many different styles as I possibly could. I wrote poetry, prose, personal essays, nonfiction about other people. I wrote one piece where I was trying to copy the style of The New Yorker, They have those short pieces at the beginning of the New Yorker every week. And I wanted to write a piece that would look like it would go in that magazine. One week I actually asked the community, hey, you know, what have I not written that you would like to see me write? And somebody said, you should write science fiction. And I used to read a lot of science fiction, but I have not written a science fiction piece ever in my entire life.
How was that for you?
Well, the theme was Once Upon a Time. So I wrote about a time traveler from a totalitarian future fascist society whose job it is to go back in time and shoot the wolf before it threatens Red Riding Hood.
Ooh.
And like I started with this image of this woman walking down the hall and there's all these trophies up in the hall. And the challenge is the trophies are all there, but they haven't actually accomplished all the missions yet because it's time travel.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wrote about this and the fundamental part of it was that the society wants them to extinguish fairy tales because they don't want people warned about the wolves in the woods. You know, like fairy tales are these old stories that warn us to look out for ourselves, that warn us not to talk to strangers, that warn us not to trust the king. And so this society wanted to take away those warnings so that they had greater control over the people. And I ended up really proud of it. Like it was a piece I was really happy with. And it was hard to write.
Yeah. Was that your hardest? What was your hardest week?
It got technically easier and emotionally harder as I went. Because on a technical level, writing is an exercise just like anything else. And when you exercise that writing muscle, it gets easier and easier to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so near the beginning of the contest, it took me 2 or 3 days to write a piece, to get the idea and think about it and do a couple of drafts. Near the end of the contest, one of the best pieces I wrote for the entire contest, I started with an idea where I had once said to someone who was in a juvenile delinquency facility, I said, nothing is as compelling as trouble. So whatever you're going to do when you get out of here, you need to find something that is as interesting as trouble so that you can do that instead of getting into trouble, which mm-hmm. is compelling and fun and interesting. And I was like, okay, I'll start with that. Then about an hour later, I was walking from one place to another in my regular job and it hit me, oh, I need to talk about that time I was in the mental hospital as a teenager. And it was very emotionally tough to write because it went to this, you know, dark place for me, but it was technically very easy. I thought about it for about 2 hours. I did my first draft in about an hour. I did my second draft about an hour after that. And it was one of the pieces that touched a lot of people who read it because people were, you know, struggling with their own darkness, and for them to be able to read that somebody else was having these issues, that was really powerful for them.
Hmm.
You know, and so I found that it got technically easier, but the more I wrote about challenging personal stuff, the more I needed to write things that were more challenging, things that went deeper.
Mm-hmm.
And yet not stray into, oh, poor me, here's my diary.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's still got to be a piece that has a universal application and
sure.
that people can grow from and learn from.
So a part of this contest also is that you not only do people vote, but they
mm-hmm.
also comment. And sometimes that was part of it, wasn't it? That you needed to comment on other people's work and they needed to comment on yours.
Yeah, because just like the writing world outside the contest, you have to be able to promote your own work and get your work out there and stand up for your work. And I'm not going to lie, the contest was, I would say, 60% a good writing contest and 40% a popularity/reality show contest. And it was very important near the beginning of the contest because it was in the eighth year of this coming year. And a lot of the people already knew each other. Nobody knew me.
Mm-hmm.
So I made it my goal that I was going to comment on every single person's piece of writing every single week. Now we started the contest with 337 people
mm-hmm.
and I read 337 pieces and commented on every single one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I did that through the entire contest. You know, so midway through, I'm reading 200 pieces a week and commenting on them. Near the end, you know, I'm reading 10 pieces, but giving more constructive feedback as I go. And not only was it a good strategy, it helped me win votes. It helped me get people to like me. It helped me get people to read my writing. You know, because if you have 300 pieces, you're going to start by reading the ones of the people who care enough to read
sure.
you. But it also helped me look as a writer because I kept notes for myself. Oh, this piece had a good idea, but they really need a better grasp of grammar and spelling if they're going to get that idea to the audience. This piece was really skillfully written, but it's kind of boring. You know, this piece doesn't really have a clear voice. Anybody could be saying this. And I kind of broke it down into four areas, craft, voice, concept and structure. And I started looking at each piece every week and thinking, okay, this is really good. Why is it good? The structure is really strong. It's got a really clean voice. And it helped me think about how to make my own writing better by looking analytically at other people's writing.
Those are four good elements to always be thinking about when you're putting something on the page.
Absolutely.
Can you think about what the most useful piece of criticism was that came your way? Is there one that sticks in your mind? Useful.
The most useful piece of criticism I got.
Not to put you on the spot.
Yeah. I think being in the contest helped me really think about knowing my audience and knowing where I was sending these pieces out into the world. I was, in addition to trying to get votes from inside the contest, I was keeping a spreadsheet of all of my friends. I made a list of about 150 or 200 friends who I thought I could count on to read my pieces and vote, but I didn't want to wear out my welcome. So I rotated through and did them in batches. Mm-hmm. And I tried to think about, you know, oh, this person's really going to like a science fiction story. This person's going to really like a personal essay. I think the best piece of feedback I've gotten so far was that I was kind of avoiding the main topic a little bit. You know, I wrote a piece that was kind of personal about my dad, and I was critical of myself, but I was shying away from being critical of my dad, you know, because you don't like to speak ill of the dead. Mm-hmm. And the person said, you know, I think you might be being too soft on your dad here, and it makes me detach from the piece because I don't feel like you're really being as honest as you could be. You know, so I think that was the most useful piece I got.
Now, what about the most unuseful?
Enjoyed reading, smiley. You know, and that's the thing. I mean, and I have to say, I'm a really lucky person. I am a skilled enough writer. And by that, I mean, I have spent a lot of time becoming a skilled writer, but I'm a skilled enough writer that I get a lot of favorable feedback. Positive comments, while they are pleasant and while they sustain me and they help me keep moving forward because I feel appreciated, they're not necessarily as useful as constructive comments. And you get to a point where you know, they say if you want to be good at tennis, play tennis with better tennis players. And I had to make a point of seeking out people who were at or above my level to get feedback from them. You know, and in my personal life outside the contest, I'm friends with a group of really good writers like Lindsay, who I can ask for
feedback. I pay her to say that.
Who I can ask for feedback on my pieces. And I trust them to give me good criticism. You know, Anne Lamott, in her wonderful book on writing Bird by Bird.
Love that book.
It's a great book. If you're a writer, you should totally
read it. If you're a writer, yes, that would be, if you take nothing else away from this, if you're a writer, you must go buy Anne Lamott's Bird by Bird.
I think it's the number one book on writing out
Allison
there.
Gave her copy of the book to me, and I passed it on to a writer friend.
Yeah.
Too.
And Anne Lamott says that in your life, you need at least two people in your critique circle. You need one person who loves everything you write and is always going to give you positive feedback and make you feel good and help you feel like, yes, I'm accomplishing something. I'm moving forward. And you need one person who is always going to give you criticism, who is always going to be able to see one more thing that you should have done better. And even though it hurts a little, I really have to cultivate my critics and my people who I can trust, where I know that they will give me feedback and I will start with an initial round of sullen, angerful hurtness, where it's like, how dare you criticize my writing? You don't get what I'm going for. You just don't understand.
I'm the best thing there ever was. How could you say those horrible things?
And then I go away and sulk for a while. And then I come back to the notes and go, oh yeah, they're right. I need to fix this and this. And I was hoping no one would notice that I didn't do that very carefully. And, you know, and then take that criticism. Cause in the end, that's what makes you better. You know, and there's I have a story, a friend of mine who's a theater director, an actor came up to her and said, you know, I just don't feel like you give me enough positive feedback. I need more encouragement. And she said, honey, you have to think of me like an Olympic running coach. It's not my job to go, oh, sweetie, you ran real fast. It's my job to help you run faster. And even though it hurts, and it never stops hurting, no matter how professional you get, no matter how much money you make, it never stops hurting to get criticism. But once you can move past that, once you can accept that the hurtfulness is a place you need to be, and then you move forward with the feedback, it is the greatest thing in the world. It is the most helpful thing in the world. And it's incredibly brave of your friends to give you feedback that they know is going to hurt you and that they know you might resent them for.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, the result of this contest has ended up with you sort of, you have a wear, Allison wears a lot of hats.
I do.
She has an aerial.
I'm a full-time performer and I own a small circus company.
That's right. Yeah. And, but, as a result of this contest, you have decided to take a 6-month hiatus and just write.
Yeah.
What's that feel like?
It is scary, but incredible. I've been saving all my playwriting money for a really long time. I don't spend my playwriting royalties. I just shove them in the bank. So thank you, all you people who have purchased my plays. You are helping me be a better writer by allowing me the freedom to take time off. So I'm taking a 6-month period, and it's actually 3 months and then a month of work so that I don't get completely out of shape, and then another 3 months. And I'm going to do as much travel and as much writing as I possibly can. I'm going to go to a couple of third world countries, India and Mexico, where it's warm and cheap and I can live somewhere and experience new things and not have my phone ring and be focused on writing.
And what is your goal for the end of this 6 months? What product do you want to have at the end?
I am going to finish my young adult novel that I am well started on and really excited about. And I'm going to have 3 pieces that I'm going to pitch to This American Life, and I'll see if any of them get accepted, but that's kind of one of my big dreams, to be on This American Life. And my goal is to submit a short piece to a literary magazine every week while I am gone. Mm. I'd like my goal to be that I get 3 pieces accepted, but my life coach told me it's better to focus on the end that I can control. You mean I can't control that they're going to take my piece?
Oh, come on. Yeah. They love you.
And that's something that I'm doing too. I'm setting some really specific goals for my time because I don't want to get to the end of my time and feel like I've wasted it.
No.
And so I have these benchmarks where it's like, okay, you're 6 weeks in. Have you submitted 6 pieces? Have you done 1 pitch to This American Life? Have you written another 45 pages of young adult novel? And even though we think of writing as like, ooh, it's creative. It's my art.
It's work.
It's work. And if you want to get it done, you have to set specific and measurable goals. Mm-hmm. And it's okay to do that. And it's okay if you turn out 15 pages of crap that then you have to edit and revise.
But if you did not write 15 pages of crap, you would have nothing.
You would have nothing.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Jinx.
Jinx poke, you owe me a Coke.
Allison, thank you so much for taking a time out of your busy
thank
schedule
you.
To come
Thanks.
And sit in our global headquarter bunker and talk.
I really appreciate that. And thank you, listeners, because seriously, it is directly thanks to you purchasing my work that I can do more work. And I really appreciate that.
Yeah, if I paid her interested, to say that too.
If you're interested in checking out the contest, because the new season will start up in this coming October,
yes.
I highly recommend it for writers of any age. It's at The Real LJ Idol, IDOL, .livejournal.com. And if you're interested in reading some of my work, it's at Whipchick, and that's WHIPCHICK, .livejournal.com.
We'll put that in the show notes.
Awesome.
Sweet. Thanks, Allison.
Thank you.